You're listening to the North Carolina Reading Service, broadcasting from Raleigh, North Carolina, serving the blind and print-impaired community since 1983. This is Nancy Jones. For the next hour, I will be reading to you from the June 2022 issue of Vanity Fair magazine, which features Star Wars on the cover. The rebellion will be televised inside the master plan for a fleet of new shows. This is Vanity Fair, Part B. Today's broadcast is in memory of David Barber. Rest in peace, my comrade. Now here's the editor's letter from Editor-in-Chief Radhika Jones, with photograph by AB and DM. The cast of Squid Game graces the Vanity Fair Awards Insider issue. The Star Wars universe seemed pretty big back when we waited years between movies to catch up on what was happening in that galaxy far, far away. But like our own universe, it's still expanding. 10 years after George Lucas sold Lucasfilm to the Walt Disney Company. For our annual TV issue, an exploration of what's new and great in television, Anthony Bresnahan goes behind the scenes to report exclusively on 5 new Star Wars shows, plus the already beloved Mandalorian, planned for Disney+. As ever, the properties marry epic storytelling with cutting-edge technology and effects, and Anthony is the first journalist to visit the innovative soundstage that makes possible all the virtual alien landscapes we know and expect. He's also got details on the rematch between Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader, the return of the franchise favorites, and a charming story about how Rosario Dawson freaked out her friend's kid by FaceTiming him in full costume as a force seeker called Ahsoka Tano, complete with blue and white headtails. Even Baby Yoda gets the Annie Leibovitz treatment, his first ever photo shoot, for the record. If the expansion of the overall TV universe evokes the views of Einstein, then the nature of its evolution right now feels Darwinian, ever more varied, complex, and competitive. Sometimes the competition is right there in the show, as R.O. Kwan writes about Squid Game, the dystopian Korean drama on Netflix that united nations in its popularity. Joy Press, meanwhile, profiles Matthew McFadyen, the affable star behind the scheming, smirking Tom Wobbskins, Succession's ultimate striver. And for more on TV's survival of the fittest, don't miss Joy's column on how streamers in their quest for dominance are becoming more like network TV, for better and worse. 2 years ago, the photojournalist Alex Maggioli traveled to Sicily for Vanity Fair to document the terrifying first wave of COVID-19. The entirety of Italy was in lockdown, an unprecedented and at the time almost incomprehensible situation. Public spaces were deserted, hospitals overwhelmed, doctors exhausted and despondent. This spring, Alex traveled to Ukraine to photograph a different deadly European front. Many of the images published in these pages are from the port city of Odessa, where Russia, now several months into its invasion of Ukraine's sovereign territory, has been operating a campaign of missile strikes. Alex captures the beauty of that city through the resilience of its people and the pain of separation embodied in a father bidding his son goodbye at the train station. Similar scenes have played out thousands, if not millions, of times across Ukraine, an undercurrent of personal grief amid the epic tragedy of this war. Now, here are some of the contributors to the issue. Alex Majoli, The Great Resistance. One moment lingers in Majoli's mind from his time documenting Ukrainian refugees fleeing to Romania during the Russian invasion this spring. I was touched by a father saying goodbye to his son in the Odessa train station. The Magnum photographer says, I was in tears taking that picture. The drama is everywhere. The pain is everywhere. And Vanity Fair staff, the life of the party. Vanity Fair entertainment director Caitlin Brody, assistant fashion editor Samantha Gasmer, senior visuals editor Kate Sturgis, market editor Kia D. Gooseby, associate menswear director Miles Pope, fashion assistant Kaylin Jade Study, and fashion director Nicole Chapoteau on location at the Beverly Estate in L.A. with photographer Nick Riley Bentham. Awal Erzku, Full Sun, the multidisciplinary artist who photographed this month's gallery page featuring the work of Virgil Abloh, was a longtime friend of the late designer. I kept referring back to our personal conversations from the past, and even turned to some recent talks he's given as a way to find his voice on how he might want me to approach this assignment, Erisku says. Anthony Bresnikan, The Rebellion Will Be Televised. People love Star Wars, and the things you love should never stop surprising you, says Bresnikan. A longtime chronicler of that galaxy far, far away, the Vanity Fair senior Hollywood correspondent aims to write for casual fans and obsessives alike, looking to shift the perspective of what viewers already know, or think they know, about what they've seen so far. Aro Kwon, It's All in the Game. Growing up in L.A., my Korean-American friends and I would talk about our KP, or Korean Pride, says best-selling novelist Kwon, who was moved by the excitement of the cast of Squid Game about what might come next, not just for them, but for Korean media as a whole. While I worked on this piece, and in this time of rising anti-Asian violence, it was steadily with me. Now this from Brett Hinemuth, Full Bloom. Need someone to bring your blockbuster book to life? Just give Daisy Edgar Jones a call. And she's pictured here. When Normal People arrived on Hulu in 2020, the adaptation of Sally Rooney's novel made a star of Daisy Edgar Jones. The actor and avid reader has continued bringing more beloved books to the screen, including Under the Banner of Heaven and Where the Crawdads Sing. In the meantime, there's Sundance, Darling Fresh, a comedy with a cannibalistic twist. Edgar Jones reflects on her whirlwind rise and what chapters may lie ahead. The only child of a film editor mother and television executive father, Edgar Jones fell for acting during a primary school play about Henry VIII. She played Anne Boleyn. After 4 years in small TV parts, she landed Normal People. Co-star Paul Mescal will always be one of my best friends. We were terrified, and we really held each other through that experience. Actually, we just went to Coachella together. She'll never forget filming Fresh's more gruesome scenes. You want to have a shot of my bare arse on the operating table? That was the weirdest professional discussion I've ever had. Reading the zany script, she remembers thinking this could go really wrong. But do you know what? This is my 20s. I want this to be a time for learning. Honoring her character in FX's Under the Banner of Heaven, a murder victim was crucial. Brenda's family is still alive, and we have an opportunity to share her life. As pageant queen Brenda, the actor also performs the rose on screen. Bette Midler, man, it's quite a tricky song. As a fan of Delia Owens' book, Edgar Jones braved lightning, floods, gators, and cockroaches filming crawdads in New Orleans. I kept thinking, this is the scene in the book where, and then going, oh my God, but we only have 20 minutes to film it. Up next, she's looking for a summer project. Adjusting to Hollywood, it's surreal to be in a room with people you've been watching all your life. You feel like you've stepped inside the telly. And hoping to get a call from Wes Anderson. Ex Machina, in Sloane Crosley's novel, cult classic, a calculated plot coordinates run-ins with protagonist Lola's former lovers. Below, a few of Crosley's inspirations. Ooh, by Karen O. When I think of Lola meandering the streets, I hear Karen O's ooh. The lyric, "Don't tell me that they're all the same," could be this novel's tagline. Russian Doll, Netflix. I was almost done with cult classic when Russian Doll premiered. So it's retroactive inspiration, but I saw it as an affirming thirst for downtown magic. The Real Thing by Tom Stoppard. Stoppard's masterpiece has some great structural tricks. I often think of love as blurring the distinction between everyone who isn't one's lover. Full Sun by Daisy Shaw Ellis, with photograph by Owl Erescu of Louis Vuitton's Men's Flower Keep All. Virgil Abloh, who died in November at only 41, was renowned for infusing the menswear he designed with optimism and vibrance. Whether at Louis Vuitton, the Wizard of Oz inspired his first collection, or at his own brand, Off-White. In this weekender bag from what would be his final collection, Spring-Summer 2022, a rainbow of tulips and fine leather blossoms from the house's signature canvas. The result is both playful and daring, the stuff of dreams that really do come true. What's trending? Net benefits. Catch summer's coolest vibes with full-body fishnet, soft sandy hues, and pearlescent details fit for a mermaid. In the photo, screen splash for summer fun. The family-approved and extremely 80s rom-com stars Daryl Hannah and Tom Hanks. Castaway, Kate Bracelet and shorts, Salvatore Ferragamo pants, Orlebar brown shirt, Omega watch, Sophie Buhai fan shell claw, Ceremonia Mascaille de Babassu deep conditioning hair mask, Chanel Le Vernis nail collar in CC green, Prada hat, Luar eyewear, Chloe dress, House of Beau, Le Mar Eau de Parfum, Davira necklace, Hunzaji swimsuit, Loewe espadrille, Key Skin Isle Glow Face Lotion. My Desk, Star Seeker, when showrunner Sue Hu isn't ruling the writer's room at Pachinko, Apple TV Plus's hit series, she's working on the Thousand Miles Project, an incubator for those telling stories of the Asian and Pacific Islander diaspora. Here, A Glimpse of Her Fancies by Araminta Diop, and her photograph is by O.K. McCausland. Hand-painted fan. It's important in Korean culture to give gifts as a way of honoring friends and family and people you care about. I got two fans as Pachinko was wrapping up. One was given to me by our Korean art director, Mrs. Cho. Ornate box. I bought it on eBay. We think it's from the early 20th century. I hate it when things are out. If I'm going to have paper clips, I'd rather put them in a pretty box. Bookshelf. Most of that top level is Pachinko research. I also buy lots of copies of Patti Smith's Just Kids. It's the perfect gift. Ox cheek soup. That's from the show The Terror. I think we made 5,000 cans, and all of them had different labels. Korean ceramics. If I ever get some time, I would love to take pottery classes. It sounds so soothing. Pachinko machine. I had no idea what pachinko was before I read Min Jin Lee's book. When the writer's room started, our studio sent me the 60s model as a gift. Sextant. You look at the sun, the stars, and the moon to calculate longitude and latitude. My last show was about men stuck on boats in the Arctic. I love the story of explorers, people who have this indomitable quest to go into the reaches that no one else wants to go to. I try to get myself into the shoes of the people who live those stories, and that's trying to teach myself how to do navigation on set.
Thank you.
coming clean, as the wellness narrative toggles between self-improvement and self-acceptance, The Cleanse gets a reboot by Laura Regensdorf. In the photograph by Daniel Gordon, Chroma Reset, a typical 9-course day from matcha latte to magnesium wind down. This spring, during a junk drawer clean out, an orange gift card appeared like a ghost of wellness past. A relic from an erstwhile juice chain, it called up the early 2010s when liquid fast reigned in fashionable circles. Detox was a buzzword, even as naysaying doctors noted the body's sufficient systems for such housekeeping. The methods, be it cayenne-dusted lemonade or hold-your-nose shakes, served as a secular rite, self-purification alongside a whittled frame. Day two, you are the grumpiest bitch in the world, the actor Piper Perabo told Allure in 2013. But by day three, you're so high, it's awesome. It wasn't long before critics sniffed out hypocrisy within the health posturing. How could body positivity, then coming to the fore, coexist with hypocaloric and paradoxically costly programs that left people woozy with hunger? The practice, as Goop's former chief content officer Elise Lonen said in a viral video this past March, had become synonymous with dieting and restriction. A cycle so dispiriting, she swore off cleanses upon leaving Gwyneth Paltrow's company in 2020. Lonen then described dipping a toe back in via Chroma's 5-day reset, a do-over term for what the genre itself could use. Developed by self-professed wellness visionary Lisa Odenweller and launched last summer, Chroma is centered on next-gen staples. Adaptogen-spiked lattes, bone broths, superfood smoothies. Unlike fresh meal plans, Sakara Provenance, this kit arrives as powders to be blended with water or non-dairy milk. There's a Pantone serenity to the design. The packets are travel-friendly. I mixed the grain-free porridge at a coffee shop and full brew for multitaskers. Tasty miso broth for lunch. Participants can also choose to layer in, say, greens and fish. What we're doing with Chroma is bringing that functional medicine bio-individuality into the conversation and saying, it's not one size fits all. Medical director Will Cole, MD, tells me from his cactus-adorned telehealth clinic. Dubbing the easy-to-digest broths a gut siesta, he often sips a cup midday, he sees the reset as a springboard, a leaning into nourishing things. Still, diet culture clings. When Amy Schumer, an investor with Paltrow and a cohort of tech and food bigwigs, posted a video praising Chroma, comments were divided. I was waiting for the punchline the entire time, one read. To wellness advocate Jessamine Stanley, who vouches on religious fast in her book, Yoke, My Yoga of Self-Acceptance, it's all in the framing. Away from negativity, toward an inquisitive kind of upkeep. A recalibration seems like something that all of us should do from time to time. Stop the presses, she says. Try again. But can a 5-day reset stick? We have a habit memory system that doesn't change when we make a new resolution to live in a healthier way, says behavioral scientist Wendy Wood, author of Good Habits, Bad Habits. Workable strategies are key. A survey she conducted found that people who buy pre-cut produce eat more of it, a practical alternative to expensive powders. Chroma's bulk-sized jars get prominent placement in its post-reset guide. Edwin K. McDonald IV, MD, Associate Director of Adult Nutrition at the University of Chicago, is focused on another barrier to entry. A trained chef, he teaches cooking classes in hospitals. sharing real-world skills while touting the microbiome-friendly benefits of a varied plant-rich diet. A jumpstart can be helpful, he says. So can tapping into a powerful motivator, feeling good. Now on to books. Fiber Optics, a new monograph, celebrates and contextualizes the work of a burgeoning contemporary artist by Kayla Holiday. In the photo, Gio Swabi, Gallivantin and Pretty Pretty Eight, Thread and Fabric Sewn on Canvas, 2021. I make work for people to see, but the process is for me, says Gio Swabi, the Bahamian portrait artist who positions black joy as an act of resistance. Last spring, not long after starting as an MFA student at the Ontario College of Art and Design University, she sold out her solo debut at Claire Oliver Gallery in Harlem. Her large-scale textiles unencumber black femme from the politicization of the black female form. Roxane Gay was among those collectors. The big moments have a lot of duality, Swabi says. Her recent success, which arrived during a time of mourning, was one such moment. Her mother, whose work as a seamstress proved influential, passed away the year before the show. In Gio Swabi, Fresh Up, Out from Rizzoli Electa, in conjunction with her first solo museum show at the Museum of Fine Arts in St. Petersburg, Florida. Co-authors, including Nicole Hannah-Jones, frame Swaby's practice in the context of racial politics, black portraiture, and textile traditions. Still, at its core, art remains a visual practice for me, Swaby tells Vanity Fair. I love to play with color. I love to play with pattern. The heart is a really important aspect of my decision-making process, too. She often returns to the words of bell hooks, what we cannot imagine cannot come into being. Six-pack, high-octane love, time travel, and more new novels. The evening hero, Marie Myung-ok Lee's sweeping portrait reveals the life of Dr. Youngman Kwak, newly employed at a health startup, from his Korean childhood to his adult travails, published by Simon & Schuster. Tracy Flick Can't Win, Tom Perrotta's sequel to his 1998 satire, Election, finds titular Tracy vying for a high school principal position and reframing her own adolescent experiences amid the tensions of an impending school Hall of Fame ceremony, published by Scribner. This Time Tomorrow, like 13 going on 30 in reverse, Emma Staub's time warp novel finds 40-year-old Alice reliving her 16th birthday, her sick dad's health restored. Published by Riverhead. An Olive Grove in Ends. In Bristol, a star-crossed love unfurls between Sion and Shona, derailed and strengthened by drugs, family ties, violence, and religious animosities in this debut from Moses McKenzie. Published by Little Brown. Either Or, in another follow-up to a beloved original, Elif Batuman brings the idiot's sex-curious protagonist, Salen, through year two at Harvard and a trip to Turkey. Published by Penguin Press. You made a fool of death with your beauty. Mourning and desire collide in Akweki Emezi's story of Faye, a rising artist who becomes entangled with a connected young man and his father. Published by Atria. And those synopses were written by Keziah Weir. Now, this from Miles Pope. Space Jam, in Ken Folk, the movie in my mind, new from Asuline, the interior designer puts his favorite projects on display. Folk calls works like this at the Kips Bay Decorator Showhouse, Dallas, designed in 2021 and disassembled soon afterward, this pop-up brigadoon-like thing. The designer rarely does show houses. The ephemerality, he says, is beautiful and yet sad. The new owners of this early 20th century historic house wanted it to be vibrant, fun, opinionated, and fearless, says Folk. The two-story vaulted entryway, lacquered in blue, looked like the Sistine Chapel, with all the scaffolding. At Carbone in Miami, which opened last year, I wanted it to feel like Maria Callas woke up on the Grand Canal with Frank Sinatra in a fabulous palazzo, says Folk. Russian dolls, tennis players, and more, coming up in the next installment. This program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. I'm Nancy Jones, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service and broadcasting from its studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. Vanity Fair Part A airs via special subchannel receiver on Saturday and Sunday nights at 11 o'clock. Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Vanity Fair Part B airs via special subchannel receiver on Monday and Tuesday nights at 11 o'clock, Eastern Daylight Saving Time, streaming via the World Wide Web at those times. Both Parts A and B are available as a podcast at our website, www.ncreadingservice.org. Opening and closing music by Calexico. Interval selections by Mark Hoffman.